God for our meditation is recorded in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 27. The keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, sometimes people learn what a precious thing freedom is only by losing that freedom. From their jail cell, all they can do is look out at the world. They see and hear others coming and going, enjoying the freedoms that they took for granted on the outside. Meanwhile, they are imprisoned. In the song "Folsom Prison Blues" by Johnny Cash, a prisoner can hear the train coming and imagines the life of freedom enjoyed by the passengers. I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. I bet they're drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Yet at the same time, the prisoner realizes that it's due to his own fault that he has lost his freedom. "I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free, but that train keeps a moving, and that's what tortures me." By contrast with the character in this song, often in Scripture, we find examples of those who are wrongfully imprisoned through no fault of their own. They are in prison for preaching God's word, worshiping the true God alone, or for refusing to disobey God's commandments in order to obey an earthly authority. Yet, like this character, God's servants are described as bound in chains, wasting away in prison, unable to free themselves. This is the case in our lesson today, where we find Paul and Silas wrongfully imprisoned and in need of rescue. But they are not the only prisoners that need rescuing. Ironically, our text describes someone who is stuck in a prison of his own making, namely the jailer. This jailer turns to his prisoners, Silas and Paul, and asks them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This question, "What must I do to be saved?" first reveals our need for salvation. If I were to ask you who needed saving in our text, you'd probably answer Paul and Silas, because they're the ones stuck in prison. Why were Paul and Silas in this situation? In the city of Philippi, Paul and Silas performed a miracle by the power of Jesus' name, freeing a servant girl imprisoned by an evil spirit. This did not sit well with their handlers, who had profited from her fortune-telling. So they drummed up accusations against Paul and Silas. "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." This accusation incited an angry mob, resulting in the city officials having Paul and Silas beaten and imprisoned, placing them in an inner cell with their feet fastened in the stocks. This inner cell had no light, was unventilated, with foul air, filth, and vermin. How did Paul and Silas react to being imprisoned for the sake of the gospel? Rather than complain and lament because of the injustice and mistreatment they suffered, they lifted up their voices in prayer and were singing hymns to God. They prayed, no doubt, for strength to bear the cross, for the furtherance of God's work in the midst of his enemies, and for the conversion of many. This did not seem like the time or place to be doing mission work, but they praised God, and the other prisoners heard their message. They demonstrated what Peter writes in his first letter: rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In answer to their prayers, at midnight, a sudden earthquake shook the prison to its very foundations, opening its doors and unfastening the prisoners' stocks and chains. God miraculously freed them from their imprisonment. The earthquake and opening of the cell doors roused the jailer from his slumber. Knowing that Roman law would hold him liable for the punishment due to his escaped prisoners, his first inclination was to draw his own sword to take his own life rather than be executed. But Paul at that point intervenes to save the jailer from physical and eternal death. He assured him that he and the rest of the prisoners had not escaped. The jailer's conscience was pricked as he experienced the presence and the power of the living God. The jailer realizes that in reality, he is the one who is imprisoned by sin, guilt, and despair. The jailer asks, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Knowing his need for salvation, he asks one of life's most important questions. Yet the wording of this question is wrong-headed, focused on what he must do. How can I make up for my wrongs? What can I do to be saved from God's wrath? What sacrifice must I offer? Like the jailer, we are in a prison because of our own doing. We live in the prison of this fallen world, given to sin and death. And not only that, as a result of our own infractions of the law, we are confined to prisons of our own making. Our selfishness, our fear, our anxiety, our doubt, our unbelief. We are in bondage to decay. Like the jailer, we ask, what must I do to be saved? The answer to this question is the most important information a human being can have. There is only one true answer. The answer is not do, but believe. In the darkness of that prison, Paul and Silas let their light shine as they witnessed to the jailer the way of salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Jesus entered into the prison of our fallen world. He was subjected to the sentence for our sin and suffered capital punishment in our place. We are therefore free from the punishment we deserve, free from serving time, freed from the death penalty owed to our sins. Christ also freed us from the burden of trying to save ourselves by our own works. The death and resurrection of Jesus frees us from the oppression of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Faith in Jesus Christ delivers us from death, hell, wrath, and judgment, and brings us eternal salvation. Paul and Silas then spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. These words direct us to the means of salvation, the word and sacrament by which the Holy Spirit calls us to faith. Those baptized in our lesson include all the jailer's family, his wife and children, as well as any other relatives and household servants that lived with them. And very likely, there are also little children and infants in that house. What must I do to be saved? It is nothing you do, but rather what Christ has done. His perfect life lived for you. His death in your place. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. In order that you may believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved, the Holy Spirit calls you to faith by his word and baptism and strengthens and keeps you in the saving faith as you continue to make frequent use of his means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. Amen.